Okay, I'm going to call this meeting of the House Special Committee on Fisheries to order. Let the record reflect that it is 8:10 on Friday, May 6th. Let the record reflect that there is a quorum. Present are Representative Wilson, Representative Elkins, Co-Chair Thomas, and myself, Representative Ledoux. Our agenda this morning consists entirely of SB 113, Gulf of Alaska Groundfish Fisheries, sponsored by Senator Ben Stevens. Cheryl, I presume you're here to present this bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, Cheryl Sutton, staff to Senator Ben Stevens. Senate Bill 113 provides statutory authority for the Board of Fisheries and the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission to jointly develop a dedicated access privilege program for Gulf of Alaska groundfish. They will develop this by species, areas, and gear types as the fisheries are presented to them from the industry side, desiring to have a DAP in their fishery. The legislation provides for a full public process and grants appropriate authorities to the Commission and Board for development and implementation of a form of fisheries limitation for state water Gulf groundfish fisheries reflective of historic involvement in these fisheries. It does not predetermine whether a fishery will become a DAP fishery or how it will be managed. The Alaska Board of Fisheries has led a joint effort to explore how best to respond to the changes facing Gulf of Alaska groundfish fisheries. A diverse fishing fleet utilizing different gear types and vessel sizes harvests multiple species of migratory groundfish from 0 to 3 miles off the Alaska Gulf Coast. The GOA groundfish fisheries in state waters from 0 to 3 miles are comprised of two distinct components: a state water fishery managed under an established guideline harvest level, and a parallel fishery managed under a federal total allowable catch. Efficiency has increased in many of these fisheries, resulting in shortened seasons, an increased race for fish, decreased quality, and lost opportunities for value-added products. The consequences are lower ex-vessel values. In addition, the federal government, through the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, is rationalizing the groundfish stocks and fisheries under its jurisdiction in 3 to 200 miles. This is likely to result in additional fishing effort and exacerbation of existing problems in the 0 to 3 state water fisheries. Senator Stevens was approached by the Gulf Work Group, comprised of the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, Board of Fish members, and industry, and asked if he would sponsor this legislation. And you can see this legislation is by request. And these are the folks who requested this legislation. And because the Gulf of Alaska groundfish fisheries and state waters are managed by harvest limits, a dedicated access privilege program may be feasible and appropriate for managers to meet harvest objectives. It may better serve the goals of resource conservation and prevention of economic distress among fishermen and those dependent upon fishermen for a livelihood. It will also provide the safety of those involved prosecuting these fisheries, promote the safety. With the passage of Senate Bill 113, a lengthy public process will ensue. The Department of Fish and Game collects and CFEC holds all the fisheries harvest and vessel participation information. This information will have to be compiled and analyzed for a fishery being considered as a potential DAP fishery. Both the CFEC and the Board of Fish have extensive public hearing processes, and the public will have ample opportunity to participate in the development of any potential DAP program for Gulf of Alaska groundfish fisheries. Senate Bill 113 protects the state's interests. It provides an important new tool for ensuring our state water groundfish fisheries can be developed to maximize the state's interest and protect the resource and those who depend upon it. You have here today folks from CFEC and from the department. I'm not sure if Art Nelson's online from the board. I don't believe that Mr. Dersham was available today. And these are the folks who have drafted a process memorandum of understanding as to how this whole process will take place, and they can testify to that. I know that there's been a lot of concern in industry that this bill will put in place a dedicated access program, and that's not true. This bill simply provides statutory authority to the entities that are charged by the legislature with managing our fisheries and And the CFEC is the Limited Entry Commission with limiting entry into fisheries if it warrants. And that's all the bill does.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Sutton? Representative Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was wondering if once this they go through the Board of Fish and the CFEC process, if you would have a problem if we put language in here that they come back and report to the state before it's put into place, and we have, I don't know if you wouldn't call it oversight overview of the plan, you know, not since this is somewhat a complex and controversial issue, you know, before it goes in and that we say that we approve or disapprove of the plan.
Through the chair, Representative Thomas, Senator Stevens would not support that process, and for this reason alone, that the legislature is the policy body, and what 113 does is it creates policy, and it you have already delegated your authority to the Board of Fisheries and to the Limited Entry Commission. You've created their statutes. You've outlined what their responsibilities are, and Senator Stevens believes that they're the entities who should be developing these programs, with the industry coming to them rather than the legislature developing fisheries management plans or ratifying them.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Thomas.
Well, how about an overview to the board, at least to the Fisheries Committee and Resource Committee before it's put into place? I mean, we want to know what, you know, how are you going to do it? What's going to happen? You know, we're going to take the heat one way or the other if we kill this thing or if we go forward. And I think it would only be, I think, good protocol that we see what happens to this, the baby that's going to come out of all this paperwork.
Through the chair, Representative Thomas, I can just reiterate what I said. Senator Stevens doesn't believe that's the correct process.
I'm asking that we hear the overview. When it's going to stop it, I'd like to know what they've done. One of the confusion, Madam Chair, one of the confusing thing is when limited entry started, I was there, and what they said in the field and what they actually happened, it was a little confusion. And I think, you know, if they don't think so, that's fine, I guess. But I'm just requesting, you know, I mean, it's not that hard a thing. I guess we can ask the Board of Fish and CFEC to come in. I just want an overview of what happens. No different, Madam Chair, than when we have, when we put policy out there for foundation formulas and education and stuff. We like to see how it's done, what, you know, implemented. We're not going to change it.
May I ask a question, Representative Thomas? Are you speaking of that they just present to you in a committee what they have already done and you have no say on whether, I mean, are you going to ask that this come back for your ratification, or are you just asking that they give a presentation of what they've done?
Madam Chair, yeah, I just want to know what they've done and what they're going to do so that people have a clear understanding, once again, in the final public process. It just, when they come in here, we could see the charts and just see how it came out. You know, some of us will be fishing and not being able to keep tabs on what's going on.
Through the chair, Representative Thomas, I don't believe that the process will go as quickly as you may think it'll go. It's going to be a very slow process. I'm sure that the Board of Fisheries and CFEC would have no problem presenting to you any findings that they have developed. And, you know, that's a little bit different than, you know, the legislature asking, you know, for final ratification on a plan.
How long do you expect the process to actually take?
Well, I would rather have CFEC and the Board of Fish answer that, but I'm envisioning, you know, it has to come from industry side to them. CFEC has never imposed a limited entry program on any fishery unless the fishery has asked for them to look at that fishery. And Senator Stevens felt very strongly that he joined CFEC and the Board of Fisheries together in this process, which we've done through the Memorandum of Understanding, so that they're in joint hearings on the issues that will be before them. I would envision that's going to be quite a long process and a very detailed public process.
Is there anything that guarantees that the hearings will actually be held in the communities that are going to be affected? I mean, I know that the Board of Fish likes to hold Board of Fish meetings in, for example, the coastal communities. But because of their budgetary constraints, I believe for the last couple of years, they haven't been holding meetings in those communities. They've been holding those meetings in Anchorage. So I'm wondering if there's any guarantee in this legislation that they will be holding meetings in those communities.
Representative Ledoux, I believe that this is not a Board of Fisheries meeting, and that's what you're referring to. This is a public hearing process involving Board of Fisheries members and CFEC members. CFEC has a consistent track record of holding hearings in communities where they're dealing with issues affecting a fishery of that area and holding multiple hearings in that area. And that's clearly the intent of the MOU. I don't know whether you've read the MOU, but that's attached to this bill, and it's certainly our intent that those things occur, and we have no reason to believe that they will not occur.
Thank you. Any further questions for Ms. Sutton?
Thank you.
All right. Well, I will now open this for public testimony, but I'm going to say right at the beginning that we're going to hear public testimony today, but we're not going to be moving this out of committee today. So we will begin public testimony. I will take, to begin with, and I'm going to vary this around. We've got a number of people, both in the Kodiak LIO, the Kodiak Borough offices, and Anchorage, and off-net. So I'm just going to start taking a few people here, a few people there. Testimony is going to be limited to 3 minutes per speaker. I would request that the speakers speak solely to the merits of the bill. So we will begin with Julie Kavanaugh at the Kodiak LIO.
Yes, good morning, Representative Ledoux, Representative Thomas, and members of this committee. DAP is a system where the resource is specifically identified and reserved. Under Article 8, Section 15, quote, no exclusive right or special privilege shall be created or authorized in the natural waters of the state. Any system can have a potentially well-developed plan, but if it has a bad foundation, it should not be built upon or implemented. This bill creates claim to the resource while it remains in the waters of the state of Alaska. This section also speaks to limiting access, not allocating resource. While the DAP program may potentially be more inclusive, it does create ownership. We limit access for conservation and economic. We do not, under our Constitution, identify and reserve for anyone. Article 8, Section 15 does not provide for creating an exclusive right or claim to the resource. The words that, quote, specifically identified and reserved are sourced from an explanation of the DAP program submitted by supporters of this bill and can be viewed on the bill's web link. And I also have a copy I will fax to you. Let's talk about opportunity. A limited entry system, which we have seen being upheld in the court, is a restrictive access, but it does not guarantee opportunity. When we guarantee the right to retain the resource, we exclude like fishermen from opportunity. Limited entry does not reserve fish if your gear fails or if your skill lacks. Limited entry doesn't reserve fish, period. Dedicated access privilege reserves fish. It creates a special privilege which provides exclusive opportunity to the resource. Let's consider that lost opportunity by one is an opportunity for someone else, and this is the placeholder for retaining the resource for common use. When we talk about restricting access, we need to speak to viability. The DAP system has been discussed as likely to be more inclusive than limited entry. It should be pointed out that a fisherman who is given an allocation in a smaller boat operation would be marginalized disproportionately to a larger operation. It would then be logical to conclude that the small boat or fixed gear fleet would be unfairly disadvantaged and unwanted consolidation would occur. Interestingly enough, conditions to prevent consolidation, which have been mentioned in the March 11th legal opinion under email to define, may very well compound the problem for the small boat fleet, preventing them from reversing their marginalization. creating a more inclusive limited entry access through a DAP allocative program in reality creates a less economically viable fleet. In this plan for rationalization, we should intend that the winners are the independent coastal fishers and the communities that they support. Over this last week, there has been much discussion about the Chignik Co-op and the Board of Fish's need to implement a plan to fix the dilemma arising from their actions, which the Supreme Court found to exceed the Board's authority. This co-op was formed by the Board in the face of much controversy, similar to what you will see happen today. And still, they moved forward with the co-op's inception. An interesting detail came out of this last week's decision to reinstate the co-op for 2005. The Board of Fish recognized the need to incorporate active participation requirements. I would ask the Board how they are going to require active participation from vessel owners, associations, co-ops, or other entities, all words that are found in Senate Bill 113. Will we be speaking to this in this House Fisheries Committee, or are we required to have faith in the Board to address this concern, one that they have neglected in this recent past? Owner on board provisions are active participant provisions. Let's hear this committee discuss that. This committee should understand that the stakeholders subcommittee.
You're going to have to, I'm holding this strictly to 3 minutes per speaker, or we're never going to finish this. So thank you very much for your comments. Next person is Tim Tripp. Tim, are you there?
Yes, good morning. My name is Tim Tripp, and I'm a jig fisherman from Kodiak. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and my wife, Peggy O'Leary. We lived in Kodiak for 12 years. To start with, I want to say I'm against Senate Bill 113. However, if the bill does go through the House, then it's very important that jig fishermen be included in the bill. We need to be able to have a say in the rationalization process when it goes to the Board of Fish. Excuse me. There's a lot of things I don't understand about this bill. I've spent a lot of time recently looking at its wording and talking to people about what it means and where it might go. I haven't been able to figure it all out. And that makes me wonder if everyone on this committee knows what it really means. It sure seems to have a lot of potential to harm a lot of Alaska fishermen, as well as the communities they live in. It seems only fair that it should be looked at closer, make sure that it fairly meets the needs of everyone involved. If the members of this committee aren't comfortable killing this bill now, I think it should at least be put off until next year or sent to the Resource Committee so that everyone has time to think about the consequences. That would allow everyone who will be affected and all the legislators who will need to vote on it enough time to get fully informed on what it means, whether it's really needed, what it will do, and who it might hurt. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tim, for your comments. Any questions for Tim? Representative Thomas.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Have you testified previously to this and attended other public meetings? I know they've had them in Kodiak.
Yes, I have.
And you still don't understand after, you know, I don't. I'm just, you know, reading through this. And I'm a fisherman in limited entry and IFQs the whole bit. So I just wanted to know, make sure that you've been around it. So thanks.
Thank you. Next person is Miranda Cavanaugh.
Good morning, members of the House Fisheries Committee. My name is Miranda Cavanaugh. I am 16 years old, and I'm a junior at Kodiak High School. I was born and raised here in Kodiak. I have been to Juneau during the legislative session one time to speak about University of Alaska funding. I am here today to oppose Senate Bill 113. I am against the privatization of a state resource. I don't want to see any person, entity, or cooperative have exclusive harvest rights to our fish. Over the last 10 years, IFQs and impending rationalization has changed our fisheries. Fishermen no longer compete for the best set or a good trip. They compete for history. The idea of future ownership has ravaged our fleet, compromised safety, promoted the race for fish, and handicapped our state's management abilities. If you remove the idea of ownership and return to a discussion developing a constitutionally sound plan, our fisheries and our fishermen will return to more rational practices. Just because a group of people have anticipated ownership for years does not necessitate that we follow through in state waters. I urge the Fisheries Committee to stop Senate Bill 113 and send a strong message to the governor and the Board of Fish that we do not want dedicated access privilege for our state waters fishery. We want control of our resource for the people of Alaska. It is the Board of Fish's job to protect our fisheries for the good of all its fishermen. Senate Bill 113 was written to reward overcapitalization of the trawl fleet and reward their bycatch. This bill does not address bycatch reduction. It encourages bycatch maximization. By owning their bycatch, they will no longer need to set lower goals. They will expect to harvest 100% of their untargeted species. This ownership concept is written specifically for trawl needs. It has no place in a state fishery, and the trawl fleet should be required to stay outside 3 miles for conservation concerns. There would then be an abundance of fish for the small boat and fixed gear fleet. Entry-level fisheries would be guaranteed to remain viable, and the race for fish would immediately halt. Please do not create larger, more complex issues for Gulf of Alaska coastal communities. Let's work together to provide a solid state program that does not buy into private ownership, that rewards hard work, not overcapitalization, that recognizes environmentally friendly fisheries, not high bycatch, and supports fishermen instead of forming millionaires. It is with great concern that I address this committee today and will hope that my participation has made a difference. The stability of the state of Alaska depends on the protection of its natural resources, and I ask that you refer to this bill to the House Resources Committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Miranda. Anybody have any questions for Miranda? Thank you. We're now going to go to Mitch Kilborn at the Kodiak LIO site number 2. Good morning, Mitch.
Hey, good morning, and members of the committee. My name is Mitch Kilborn, and I am the general manager of Western Alaska Fisheries. And I am here today to speak in support of Senate Bill 113. I have been living in Kodiak for the past 19 years. I have seen the fishing industry change dramatically in those 19 years. When I first came here, it seemed that we processed year-round. I remember processing pollock on Christmas Eve so we could have Christmas Day off. We had lots of experienced crew back then. Western Alaska Fisheries had over 300 full-time employees. Today we have around 120. We are at a point where we have to bring workers in from outside to help process fish during the peak times. The people that suffer the most are the workers. They are the people who live here, send their kids to school here, and buy their groceries here. We need to protect these people. Rationalization is a way to protect those workers. We need to make our seasons last longer, make products that are more value to us as well as our fishermen, make more value-added products. This will keep the workforce that we have in Kodiak more stable and prevent us from having to bring in transient workforce that takes their money out of the community and some out of the state. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mitch. Any questions for Mitch? All right, we'll go on to John Franklin. Good morning.
Good morning, committee members. My name is John Franklin, and I'm the fleet manager for International Seafoods of Alaska in Kodiak. And I'm representing 150 people, day shift and night shift, mostly from the Filipino community and living in Kodiak. I'm sure you've heard so far, many different point of views. So I wanted more to speak of what I'm experimenting every day. Yesterday, one of our fishermen that was fishing for deep water flat came to my office, and that fishery. Finished yesterday, and I was asking him, are you going to fish for shallow water flat? And he had a big smile on his face, and he said, no, I don't think so. And basically, I'm going to fish for halibut, and because basically the you know, more money and more easy fishery, basically. And when he said that, I asked him if he knew what the price of the per pound was for halibut, and he said he was not sure. And he said, well, I'm sure it's above $2 a pound. And then he commented that, well, these days, you know, when we get $2.75 a pound, we complain. People are not too happy. They expect $3 or $3.50. And I told him, I came in Kodiak in 1984, and I remember in those days, one time there was a 48 hours halibut opening, and the fish price was 75 cents. And so during 48 hours, all the fishermen were going out and bringing their fish in, and in the plants, we had fish in every tote. We were stacking fish on the floor, on the floor, and basically that was the situation in our plant, and I'm sure in every plant in Kodiak and probably in the state. Then when we finish processing the fish, of course, we'll send the fish to Seattle to be processed, and I mean to buyers. And of course, we were in a weak position because we had a lot of money there. What I want to say, the groundfish fishery today is in the same state as the halibut that was 15 years ago. We get too many fish too fast. So I think rationalization is going to be good for everyone, and will benefit everyone, fishermen.
John, thank you very much for your testimony, but as I said at the beginning, I have to hold this to 3 minutes per speaker, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next on the list is Enrique Perez.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Lado, and special community.
Good morning.
My name is Enrique Perez. I'm working for Western Alaska Fishing for 25 years, and also Anacortes resident for 25 years. And I represent myself and 180 workers for the company. They're my co-workers, and we're really strong supporting the Bill 113, because we think it's going to be better for us, more work, more hours, and a little bit money to support our children, to send it to the school, and to buy the groceries, because you know where we speak here. You go to Safeway right now, and you're walking with the two little bags, the groceries, and in your hands, and it's over $100. But the money we not make it anymore here in Korea, because the season is so short, and company has to bring the people for outside workers to help us out to finish another product fast as possible, because the boats has to go fishing. And the bee race, you know, because the season's so short. So, for this time, please, myself and my co-workers, I hope this time you guys don't forget the cannery workers and help us out and pass this bill, please. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Enrique. Any questions for Enrique? Okay, we're going to next go to the Homer site. We'll begin with Glenn Carroll. Glenn, are you there?
Yes, I am, Madam Chair, and committee members. My name is Glenn Carroll. I have fished in Cook Inlet, Kodiak, Prince William Sound, and Southeast.
Len, do you represent anybody other than yourself?
Basically myself.
Thank you.
I have been fishing for 40 years, and I derive all my income from fishing. My interest in this bill is in cod. I have fished cod with pot since 1994, about 10 years, and have done a small-scale fresh and direct market product out of Homer because of the road system to for fresh fillets and fresh cod to Kodiak. I also participate in the federal fishery as well. My concern is for the rapid decline and the continually shortening season. Each year, the federal season closes a week earlier. The real impetus for this bill that I see, however, and by the way, I am speaking in favor of it, is in the stay waters. Please do not miss the picture that I'm going to give you in these facts. It is this. In the year 2000, the state waters fishery for pots for cod in Kodiak was 10 months long. In the year 2005, it was 11 days. In my opinion, unless we stop the race for fish, there is little future in groundfish. We do not have the luxury of putting this off for years to come. The bow of the Titanic is underwater, and to rearrange the deck chairs or to ask the band to keep playing is, in my opinion, just simply foolish. The second reason I support this bill is from the standpoint of marketing. As long as we are racing for our fish, we simply will not compete in markets around the country and the world. The same fish that we get 30 cents for in Alaska sells to the boat for a dollar in Boston and Iceland and more. When we harvest a great proportion of our cod in a matter of weeks, it is like all the ranchers butchering three-quarters of their cattle on the 4th of July and expecting the market to receive them. From the standpoint of marketing 101, this is absolutely the most regressive, backward system that we could have. And I believe this bill will address, and I hope it will address this. One comment about the Board of Fish process out of which this bill came. I participated in the groundfish task force with the Board of Fish. And contrary to what some have said, this was a very public process. There was representative from all around the state, from Sandpoint, Chignik. I think there was about five of them from Kodiak, from the Russian fleet in Homer. And the general tone and attitude that Chairman Dersham and Nelson had at this was continuously soliciting good visionary ideas, and even from the public that was there beyond the task force members that were there. And there was a great deal of discussion that brought up the necessity of this bill. I believe the DAP program will begin the process of addressing these things. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions? Representative Thomas.
Thank you. Just more of a comment, Glenn. I'm going to start my 31st year of halibut fishing, and I'm going to call it a victim of saturation. When I started halibut fishing in April, I'd fish until November. You have a pretty decent season, and when I got done, we were down to 24-hour derby days, and just for those people listening, the days they picked, and they were not the heydays that I had, but the days of the heyday of when the newcomers came in. So I went from an average of 50, 60,000 pounds of halibut, and I ended up with an IFQ of 15. So I guess it's just a note to the people who are sitting out there. If you think you're going to get more when there's more boats showing up, you're going to get less. And it kept going down and down. We went from all year from April to November. I only started in April because it's open in March, and I was playing basketball yet. So it was priorities. And when it shut down to 30 days a year, 2 weeks on, 2 off, 1 week a month, pretty soon it was 3 days a month to 24-hour derby days. So those who are listening, if you've been through that, you know, I think that I'm just making a prediction. Those who are in the halibut fishery and blackout fishery will be in favor of this. Those who are trying to scratch are going to end up like me, have to buy more IFQs in order to make it, you know, worth it fishing. So thank you.
Thank you. Any further?
I got to go.
Any further questions for Mr. Carroll? All right. Thank you very much. Next in Homer is Matt Stover.
Matt Presses? All right. My name's Matt Stover. I'm a small boat owner, operator, long-time deckhand in the cod fishery, pot and jig. long line too. I want to just address this whole thing with the IFQs. I think that's where this is headed. These things, the halibut and the black cod have become kind of a commodity. They're bought and sold in investments, often by non-fishermen. Being closed out of current crab IFQs, Bering Sea crab, boat that I fished on for years. It was recently sold to a lawyer in Anchorage, and he'll receive all the benefit for what the skipper and myself and the rest of the crew fished. What I see here in the Homer docks, crossing the docks, the halibut and the sablefish, a large proportion of these things are, the IFQ owner, he's not on board. He doesn't go out and fish these things. And, this legislation this is like a starting point for discussion. The Board of Fish in November, voted to go ahead with this plan that the Sullivan paper that they worked off of here, that the meeting I was attended, the very first thing it starts as is initial allocations will be made to vessel owners. We're going to set up the exact same type of thing. I'm against this bill. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, any questions for Mr. Stover? All right, we'll go on to Alan Parks in Homer. Hi, Alan.
Yeah, good morning, Representative Ledoux, and members of the committee. My name is Alan Parks. My comments represent my own views and do not represent any other individuals or organizations. I have been involved in harvesting Alaska fisheries resource for over 30 years. My sole income is derived from harvesting and promoting sustainable community-based fisheries. I have been a member of North Pacific Fisheries Association for the past 20 years. I am a stakeholder of state ground fish resources. I oppose SB 113 because it hurts fishermen, processors, coastal communities, and drastically changes state policy. I have faxed to you a petition of over 25 Homer fishermen who also oppose SB 113. I have many concerns about SB 113, but I will limit my comments. SB 113 is a consolidation bill and a result in less processing jobs, less workers' hours, and the closing of some processing plants. Some ground fish resources will be frozen in blocks and shipped to areas of the nation and to foreign countries where labor is cheaper. Already, we are seeing Alaskan pink salmon being shipped to Thailand for processing. Alaskan sea urchins are being shipped to Mexico, and Alaska halibut is being shipped to Canada. All these practices are happening today and will only increase under SB 113 because co-ops will be formed and linked to a specific processor, and the processor will make the business decision to schedule deliveries to minimize labor and will plan to ship to destinations where primary and value-added processing can occur with cheaper labor. In competitive markets, we expect the processors to work to maximize profit, and that's why we look to you, the legislature, to protect Alaskan jobs and the working waterfront. SB 113 reflects what's commonly referred to as outsourcing, and it means fewer jobs for Alaskans, reduced tax revenues for local communities already struggling under the weight of recent cuts to revenue sharing. The policy of the state of Alaska. SB 113 proposes drastic changes to Alaska policy. SB 113 will change the way communities interact with each other. SB 113 will change the way communities will interact with state government. The whole basis of SB 113 is how the state and federal government will interact with each other. SB 113 will change how state commerce will be conducted between communities. SB 113 will reduce the governor's ability to manage through his administration the policies of the state of Alaska and his ability to prevent federal preemption. It is very important. In fact, it is imperative that the Alaska State Legislature establish clear policies for Alaska and how communities will interact with each other, and establish clear policies for interaction between state and federal governments. SB 113 proposes drastic changes to Alaska's policy. I am very concerned that SB 113 is not being heard by other committees. I appreciate the work of the Fisheries Committee, but feel that the sweeping policy changes that SB 113 will enact and the impacts it will have to communities, state commerce, and state government, and other committees should hear this bill. SB 113 take a rest for the year. Let the stakeholders come to an agreement on some of the more controversial elements and produce a bill that reflects Alaska's strong fishing heritage and protect Alaska jobs and coastal communities. There is just too much work that needs to be done to this bill before it becomes a piece of good legislation. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Alan. Any questions for Alan? Okay, then we're going to go to Anchorage, the Anchorage LIO. And we'll begin with Art Nelson.
Yeah, good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name's Art Nelson. I'm chairman of the Alaska Board of Fisheries. Also served along with two other board members on the Groundfish Task Force that has been working over the last, year and a half or better through numerous public meetings. We've also addressed this at several of our full board public meetings as well, and all of those have been public noticed. Obviously, I am speaking in support of SB 113, and I'll try to keep my comments kind of brief and be happy to entertain some questions if you have any. I think one of the most important distinctions that some folks are confused about is I hear them drawing a lot of parallels or comparing dedicated access privileges or DAPs to IFQs, and that is definitely not the case. The mechanics of how the fishery may take place may be similar to IFQ fisheries, but at the fundamental level, a DAP is not an IFQ, and there's numerous places in the bill where it talks about whether or not they expire or attenuate over time and the terms and conditions in which they may be renewed or reissued, and that's been a subject of much discussion throughout the stakeholder task force we've had, and one of the things that I think a number of us agree is that these should be non-permanent access privileges. Now, they'd have a term and then perhaps be renewed, but there's numerous conditions that we may look at that would spell out whether the full quota gets renewed or a portion of it, and that's all things that are yet to be developed, but what we have discussed quite a bit in our meetings. And I know one of the previous testifiers referenced one of the documents that some of the stakeholders on our panel have brought forward that lays out their suggestion for it, and I think they brought some very valid points forward. But we have no predisposed program at this time. It's going to be a lengthy process, and I know there was a question earlier about how long this may take, and I'd wager to guess that we're looking probably a year to 2 years probably to have the first fisheries ready to be implemented if we proceed with this. And as the MOU spells out that I believe you should have in front of you, it very clearly lays out a number of meetings that we fully intend to hold out in affected communities, numerous more meetings of our stakeholder task force to flesh this out, joint meetings of the board and the CFEC to gather public input. And so it's been a very open process to this point. And if the legislature passes Senate Bill 113, which I certainly hope you will, it's going to continue for some time and be a very open process. So Madam Chair, thanks for giving me the opportunity to testify. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. I've got one question for you, Art. I'm looking at this memorandum of understanding, and unless I'm missing something here, I don't see any requirement in it that meetings and public testimony will be held in the affected communities. Could you point me to the place in it that does so if, in fact, I'm missing something?
No, Madam Chair, you're correct. I don't believe the MOU explicitly states that meetings are going to be held in affected communities. That was certainly our intention, and, you know, I'd be happy to speak with Commissioner Twomley, who worked with us in developing this, and, you know, see if there's agreement to put that in there. However, the fiscal notes attached to this bill, you know, outlaying some additional funds for the board and the CFEC specify that, you know, a portion for or a reason for these fiscal notes is so that we can go hold these meetings in affected communities. So
I don't suppose there would be any objection from the Board of Fish if there were something explicitly put in this bill to require that.
Well, if that's, you know, the desire of the legislature, then, you know, it was our intent all along. I just don't, I guess it would depend on how specific you get. You know, if you want to just perhaps put in there that we will hold meetings in affected communities, you know, I personally don't see a problem with that because we intended it all along. But I guess if you get into too much specifics and exactly how many meetings, then that may be more troublesome.
All right. Thanks very much, Art. Any further questions for Art Nelson? Okay. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Art, I heard you say, and I just want to make sure that you're thinking that this whole process is going to be a long time yet, and you made the comment about 2 years?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, you know, that's just a guess. One of the things that the MOU lays out is that, you know, right off the bat, we're going to, you know, based on stakeholder or user input and requests, try and prioritize and look at which fisheries may need to get looked at first. But again, as was mentioned earlier, I believe by Cheryl Sutton, is that, you know, this is something that we're not going to charge forward with on our own, and we're going to be looking for users and stakeholders to bring these requests to us before we jump into looking at any particular fishery. And through the MOU and what's outlaid in some of the fiscal notes, it does outlay, you know, many meetings of our stakeholder panel, community hearings, and so forth. And so I would say, you know, at least probably a year and perhaps 2 years.
Representative Elkins.
Mr. Nelson, what happens if we slow this process down and wait for you to come up with all of your findings before we pass this bill?
Through the chair, Representative Elkins, you know, I guess I just personally have a little concern about, I guess, something coming back to the legislature for ratification. And I have a couple reasons for that. One is that, you know, we're a volunteer board, don't get paid very much, and it's already a very large commitment of time. And this is going to be a much larger commitment of time for a number of us and the public. And to have something come back and, you know, potentially not get legislative passage for reasons totally aside from the merits of the bill, you know, depending on what the hot issue of the day or the week is at the legislature, you know, things can get sidelined. Another aspect is that the timeliness of needing to move forward is that if the North Pacific Council, the federal system, goes forward with their rationalization and we aren't able to react on the state side, then I believe we're going to see some very strong impacts, negative impacts, to state fishermen, state water fishermen.
I would just point out that if this goes south on us anyway, the legislature ends up going to end up being the ones that caused the problem. So.
I've just got one further question. How will you determine if enough of the fishermen want a DAP program in their fisheries? In other words, are you going to look at how many people have licenses for fishing a particular fishery, and then a certain percentage of those people would have to come to you with a request to set up such a program, or how's it going to work that way?
Well, it's, Madam Chair, it's you know, very similar to the way we judge a lot of our other decisions. You know, through our regular proposal process that we go through, you know, any single individual can submit a proposal to the Board of Fisheries. But you know, we always, you know, weigh the relative support and or opposition for it, just rather subjectively, and many times when it's something somewhat controversial and stakeholders ask me for advice on how to bring something towards the board, I recommend that they, you know, get a list of signatures so that we can get, you know, I guess a relative measure of support and or opposition for something. But I guess I'd be leery of spelling out a certain threshold level.
All right, thank you. Any further questions? Okay, we'll finish up at the Anchorage LIO with Mike Ebo. How you doing, Mike?
Pretty good, thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee for this opportunity. My name is Mike Ebel. Today I'm speaking on behalf of the Gulf of Alaska Coastal Communities Coalition, or GOAC3. Before I start, I want to say that you should have a resolution that the GOAC3 passed in opposition to Senate Bill 113 in your public comment packets. If you need another copy or don't have one for some reason, I can get that to you. Basically, and to put this succinctly, this bill puts the cart before the horse. And any time that you're seeking to change a fishery system in the state of Alaska, we all know it's going to be controversial. But it's a particularly weighty decision when the discussion involves the potential distribution and privatization of a public resource. And these decisions have to be made with adequate information about the impacts on our coastal communities. And the information has to be there at the very beginning of the process. It can't come in the middle, and it can't be gathered to come at the end. And we haven't seen the economic impact studies necessary for this decision at this time. The data and the discussions need to be available to Alaska's elected officials before this authority is handed over to make these important decisions. And I do want to make it clear that the GOAC3 is not inherently opposed to DAPs, to a system like them, or to any of the stated goals in the sponsor statement from Senator Stevens. I think that the resolution makes it clear that this is, in fact, an opposition to this decision at this time, that is, in fact, detrimental to open the door for such a program that tries to meet these goals without knowing the details of the program and trying to open that door in a hasty manner. Once this discussion leaves the legislature, not all interested parties in the fishing industry are going to have an equal seat at the table. That's just the way things are. And there is no reason not to wait until next year in order to ensure that we move forward with all the information that we need and that you need in order to make sure that this system works for Alaska's fisheries well into the future and for Alaska's communities. Thank you for this time.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Michael? All right. We're going to go off net now to Fred Pike. Fred, are you there? Is there a Fred Pike there? Okay, how about Alexis Quacha?
Hi, Gabrielle.
Hi, Alexis.
Good morning. Appreciate this opportunity. I've actually written this testimony down, so bear with me.
You got 3 minutes, Alexis.
I own my own boat. I hold limited entry permits in salmon, herring, crab. I've been fishing out of Kodiak for 18 years. I grew up in Fairbanks. I also run the major for Walter Sargent, whom I fished with and for 15 years. I pot fish a long line for peacock, halibut, and sable fish on the major. I'm a working fisherman. I'm not a lobbyist, I'm not a politician, and I'm getting worse at this the further I go, and I'll make it real clear I'm not supporting SB 113. This bill will not be good for coastal Alaska working fishermen. Proponents of the bill claim this will create more jobs and more stability. My question is, how will giving ownership rights and the ability to create co-ops create more jobs? Ownership of a resource will enable consolidation, which means less jobs for the fishing sector. Co-ops means less competition and also leads to consolidation of the processor sector. This means less jobs for the processing workers. The consolidation in Dutch Harbor, where I am right now, Royal Aleutian was just bought by UNICE. That was an entirely American-owned company. It's gone. Crew members will, or the workers there will be consolidated. Reading the paper, looking at Walmart, they only work their workers 35 hours a week. There will be no more overtime for cannery workers. Let's talk about benefits. You guys are dealing with benefits right now on a lot bigger issue than this. Workers aren't going to get overtime. It's just not going to happen. I'd like to move on to limited entry, since I'm a big participant in it. Every trade magazine I read has got every salmon permit in the state is on the rise. I just read one trade magazine. I saw 17 Bristol Bay boats sold recently. I'm also a Bristol Bay fisherman, and I can tell you, I bought in at the bottom end, and it's penciling out good. I can't work that fishery for 6 weeks and make a living on it for a whole year, but it sure helps my income, and I have a good time doing it. I provide two jobs, and I keep cannery workers going there, too. Woodbine Cannery, boy, they had some bad news last year, but it seems that Icicle Seafood's just stepped to the plate and bought them. I think that's optimism, and I think it's really good for our state. What would have happened if you guys came in and tried to save the correct the problems that were in Bristol Bay a few years ago with creating co-ops, as in Chignik, and allocated to a handful of people that were fishing in the bay and when things were down? You wouldn't see the excitement. You wouldn't see the optimism that we're seeing there now. So my question on the ground fish is the same. You know, we're the proponents are the trawl sector and the processing sector, and we're talking about ownership here, and I don't see how you're going to get it by the Constitution, and it really concerns me. I have some recommendations. If you do move forward, 100% owner on board, no access right in the state fishery of any kind should be given to anybody who doesn't pull on a pair of rubber boots. Legislative review, I'm all for it, Senator Thomas, or Representative Thomas. And then if you really want to get to the heart of the matter here, strike lines in Section 1, 12, 13, 14, and 15. In Section 2, it's either lines 3, 4, 5, and 6, or 33, 34, 35, 36. I can't tell from the Internet. This bill started in the resource on the Senate side. I think it should get to the resource on the House side. This is a resource.
Alexis, I'm going to have to cut you off here. You've got your 3 minutes. Any questions? Representative Elkins.
I don't have any questions, but you have it written down. You have all your statement written down. Would you please send it to us?
I'll send my chicken scotch to you, no problem.
Alexis, I'm going to give you my fax number here, 465-4956.
Wait, 465?
4956, so that you can send it to me, and I'll get it out to the other committee members.
4956?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, any other questions for Alexis? Okay, we'll move on from Alexis to, I think that's Derek Larionoff.
Yeah, stand by. He'll be right here.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. My name is Derek Larionoff. I'm from Old Harbor, Alaska. I'm 24 years old, and I am opposed to Senate Bill 113. I believe that if this bill is passed, it will do more harm than good to the coastal communities. In places like Old Harbor, fishing provides the majority of our income, and if this bill passes, it will mean even fewer jobs in an already economically troubled community. Our community has seen a drastic cut in jobs due to the halibut IFQ program and low salmon prices. I personally have been forced to find a fishing job outside of my village. To allocate access rights to our natural resources would be detrimental to the small boat fishing fleet from my village. The resulting consolidation would force even more crewmen to compete for an already limited number of jobs. And in a community where a good portion of its residents are on some form of government aid, I feel it is necessary to create jobs for more people and not make a few people more wealthy. Thank you for listening to my testimony.
Thanks very much, Derek. Any questions for Derek? Okay, we'll move on to Donnie Lawhead. Hi, Donnie.
Okay, 1 second. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, my name is Donald J. Lawhead, Jr. I was born and raised in Kodiak, Alaska. I've been fishing for 14 years. I'm married with two kids, a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old. I own a home and a boat, and I have 3 limited entry permits. I fish salmon, gray cod, crab, and halibut, and black cod. I'm against Senate Bill 113. This is a blank check that allows anything to be formed that is too much power to give someone. Section 1, number 7, it states the board or commission or both don't have the authority to give exclusive harvest shares to persons or vessel owners as members of harvest associations. In the state constitution, Article 8, Section 15, Natural Resources, no exclusive right or special privilege of fishery shall be created or authorized in the natural waters of the state of Alaska. This section does not restrict the power of the state to limit entry into any fishery. Key words here, no exclusive right or special privilege. That's what this bill creates. The Constitution gives equal access to everyone. The Limited Entry Act changed fisheries, but if you buy a limited entry permit, you have equal access to that resource. Senate Bill 113 wants to give each fisherman unequal shares. This is too exclusive. Association is just another word for a co-op. Co-ops are bad for the people of Alaska. Jobs will be lost. The Chinook Co-op was ruled illegal by Alaska Supreme Court. The working assumption since stated has been that individuals operate Alaska commercial fisheries, not corporations or associations. Look at the Bering Sea. Huge foreign-owned corporations own the resource. The fishermen have to deliver to them. That's what the federal government has done out there. The state should not do what the federal government is doing. If you want this, it should be for all state waters, including the Bering Sea and Aleutians. Millions of dollars are leaving the state by out-of-state fishermen. If you want equal access, first thing you should do, you must be a state resident to harvest state fish. That way the money stays home. There also should be an economic study on Senate Bill 113 before it is considered. There will be fewer fishing jobs, fewer processing jobs when the state banned fish traps in 1960 to create 6,000 jobs. We are going backwards. That's the wrong way to go. We can slow fisheries down by restricting gear and time fished. I'm for a limited entry permit. We already have the tools. We don't want to open Pandora's box. This bill should go to the resources also. It's a state resource. And on a side note, the reason why the state pot season in Kodiak has progressed faster is because of the sea lion closures in the federal waters. It is split. 60% of the fish is caught in the winter, 40% in the fall. This has left millions and millions of pounds of uncaught fish in Kodiak waters processed for the state fishery. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Donnie. And we'll finish up off net with David Capjohn.
Dave's not here.
He's not here?
Yeah, he left.
All right. Do we have Stanley Mack from the Aleutians Eastboro?
Yes, you do.
Thank you.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Stanley Mack. I was born and raised out here. Fished all my life. I'm 66 years old. I've seen the process of this system work. and have seen it fail. Two questions. One is, what does Senate Bill 113 do? My answer, nothing. It destroys the fishery. It destroys everything that we've worked so hard for. Strongly opposed to this legislation. It's so ambiguous that it would take a group of attorneys weeks to figure it out, and then you'd have to have a judge to administer a decision. Earlier testimony hit right to the heart of the matter in regard to the ambiguity of the bill. From what I can gather, and all that I've read in here, they've identified two species of fish that are of major concern, and that being pollock and cod. They've left out all the others. There are several other species of bottom fish out there that we could probably harvest as soon as the markets become available. We've been able to do that out here now that we've been connected to the road system. Transportation and communication is becoming better available. We're able to move laterally. That was a way of life out in this area for years. We're able to move from one fishery to the other, but that's slowly being taken away from us. The allocation that the state gets from the North Pacific Management Council is what we have to worry about, I believe. And they're the holders of all the chips in this game, the way it looks to me. Until the state can come up with a better idea or a better way of a larger allocation of that fishery that I believe is ours, state of Alaska, we're going to have to be fighting that quota system. I think we've got a wonderful system in place now called limited entry that gave a crew member a chance to work his way up the ladder. This dedicated asset takes that away from him. And some of the folks out here, well, all the folks out here, locals, have families. They've been born and raised out here, as did a lot of the other communities on the coastal. There are some communities that were left out of the limited entry program for salmon simply because they didn't have a means of processing. Now they do, with the transportation corridors now being linked together better. They're able to do a little bit of processing of these of the bottom fish and being able to ship them out to domestic markets and make a little bit of money. But you take that away from me, you're going to kill a community. Some of the communities only have one processor out here. That's scary. But you give that to that, takes out competition out of the entire equation. I just see this on a downward spiral, and I think there's got to be some more research. If there's got to be a program put in place, let's do some research in it. And particularly in the areas that are going to be dramatically affected by it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stanley. Any questions for Stanley? And I understand. Yes, Representative Elkins.
Yeah, if I understood you right, what you're saying is that if we pass this legislation that Alaskan-owned boats and Alaskan skippers will be less in the market in the future than there is today, is that, in your opinion, is that correct?
Yes, indeed.
Pretty high percentage of non-Alaska boats already. Thank you.
Thank you. And I understand that we do have Fred Pike there from the Bristol Bay Borough. Fred, are you there? Fred, do you perhaps have your button on mute? Okay, we're going to go back to Homer right now, Weston Carroll.
Good morning. My name is Weston Carroll. I'm a second-generation fisherman in Homer and derive 100% of my income from fishing salmon and cod. I support this bill because I have concerns about the current direction of the groundfish fishery for cod. My biggest concern is how the season is getting shorter each year, which increases the safety risks and decreases the profitability. There are definitely things I see with the IFQ program and with dedicated access or privatization of fisheries which concern me. But I trust the Board of Fish process we have in this state to improve upon these programs and create a program that will benefit those involved. I feel we have no choice but to pursue rationalization in groundfish because it is one of the only fisheries that is left unregulated and unrestricted. To be involved in one of the only unrestricted fisheries leaves you open and leaves you no ability to have confidence in the future of what your fishery will provide for your family. I support this bill and trust the Board of Fish process to do a good job in the future of creating a program that will benefit those involved. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Weston, what do you see in the future if this doesn't pass? I mean, you're for it, so what do you see that will happen if we don't do something?
My biggest concern, I guess, is just that each year our season for this fishery is getting shorter. I fish in an area where the volume that we get each day is fairly low. So as the season gets shorter, my total catch for the season is drastically reduced. With other fisheries around the state, such as crab and the halibut, and many of the other fisheries are restricted, it leaves cod as the only open fishery. So more people getting involved have no choice for where they're going to get involved, and cod is the place that they get involved. And as more people get involved, it becomes less profitable for those who have been doing it for years. So it's kind of like I'm left in the only fishery unrestricted, and I can't really predict what next year's income will be from it because if a whole bunch of more boats jump in, since it's the only open fishery, I could see my income significantly reduced.
Thank you.
Representative Elkins.
Weston, if I understood you, so you're saying that if this legislation passes, there should be more Alaska-owned boats and less non-Alaskan-owned boats. Is that right?
Well, I'm not really, I guess I wouldn't say I'm really up on the numbers of the percentages of boats. I definitely am in favor of seeing more of our fisheries controlled by the state and more of our fisheries brought into local ports and coastal communities. I don't know how it would affect the overall picture of the links between the federal and the state program, but yeah, I guess I don't know how to answer that question.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Weston? Okay, we're going to go back to Kodiak LIO. We'll go back to the first site, and we're at Sylvia Cavanaugh. Sylvia, are you there?
Yep, we're here.
Thank you.
Good morning, members of the Fisheries Committee. My name is Sylvia Cavanaugh. I am 13 years old. I will be able to vote in the year 2010. My dad is a commercial fisherman, and we are 100% dependent on fishing for income. I would like to thank the sponsor, CFEC, and governor for supporting Senate Bill 113. I see this bill as a great opportunity for my future. Senate Bill 113 will do several things. My mom says that if the bill goes through, Dad will get to be home more. He will be able to have someone else fish for him. We might not have a boat, but that's okay, especially if Dad gets to stay home. Then there is the best part. Someday, when I take over the family affairs, I will get to have my dad's fishing history. Then I will have other people fish for me. Plus, I won't even have to help catch the fish. See, I don't think I'll stay in Alaska, so Senate Bill 113 is perfect for me. I'll have extra income, even though I live somewhere else. This is a great opportunity. I can do other stuff, and these DAP things will just keep on working for me. It's only fair, you know. My dad worked really hard. He's a great fisherman. People tell him all the time that this DAP thing will set him up, and that it was made for guys like him. So thanks, Board of Fish. And oh, by the way, I wouldn't put any extra stuff in this bill. That would just make things more difficult, if you know what I mean. You know, owner on board junk or public meetings. Sideboards sound kind of crazy to me. Let's get this thing through so I can sit back and relax. Senate Bill 113 is great, even if you don't want to fish. To finish up, my dad says that you guys don't have to worry, because this bill is written really good. You don't have anything to worry about in this deal. That's all left up to the other guys that fix it all up later. So even if it gets messed up or somebody's not happy, it won't be your fault. That's a win-win deal for you and me. Give me my DAPs and I'm out of here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sylvia. Does anybody have any questions for Sylvia? Okay, we'll move on to Neil Rickman.
My name is Neil Rickman, and I live in Sitka. I'm 100% of my income is relied on by jig fishing in the state of Alaska. I fish in Sitka for rockfish, and I come over here to fish cod, and now I'm going to be going out to the Aleutian Islands to jig for cod out there also. My worry with this bill is that it's going to change the idea of why the state waters fisheries were set up to begin with, was an open access, entry-level fishery for people exactly like me who didn't have anything and started building on that. Now I own my own boat, and I'm doing fairly well at it. I'm happy with my income. The problem is my first 3 years of my catch history was through a leased boat, and I don't know if I'll see any of that catch history in these DAPs. Art Nelson said earlier that the IFQ and the DAP programs were completely different, but the implementation of it is if I don't get any DAPs, even though that they may come up review later on, that doesn't do me any good because next year I got to go fishing again to make my living. And if I don't get any DAPs, I can't go fishing, even though there might be some open access available. I'm just worried that it's going to change it. And I think it's right now the way it's working, it's working fine for me. So that's all I really wanted to say. I'm just concerned about the ambiguity of what's not being talked about here and just leaving up to the Board of Fish later on to come up with all the details, but the details are what's going to affect my livelihood. So that's all I need to say. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Neil. Any questions for Neil? Okay, we'll move on to Locke Finley.
Yes, hello. Dear Fish Committee, my name is Locke Finley. I've been involved in fishing most of my life. Also, I'm the Secretary Treasurer of the Alaska Jig Association. I feel that SB 113 would give too much power to the processors. If they got ownership of the DAPs, they could begin to sell their halibut bycatch and thus marginalize the value of IFQ halibut shares and ex-vessel value. Also, fishermen would not be able to market their own fish. The rationale given for rationalization is that currently the fishery is unsafe. That's not true for the fixed gear group. We don't risk life and limb for the fish currently. The fixed gear group has the highest quality product caught in the most ecologically friendly manner with the least bycatch and zero mortality rate of that bycatch. So you can't say that about trawling. Indeed, we should keep fixed gear fishing going because with environmental concerns growing, the trawl fishing may be cut back, and we could use fixed gear to harvest in their place. In the jig sector, we have 144 registered vessels, and we are catching the cod at a rate of 200 to 800,000 pounds a week. We are in an open access fishery, and anyone can buy a jig license for $60 a year and go fishing. That was a good way to get the fishery going, but now it's time to limit entry and maybe the catch rates too, in order to equalize opportunity amongst the jig fleet or other fleets, you know, maybe the pot fleet too. We have the tools to tailor the fishery to the greatest good for the greatest number of people, so don't rationalize us. That would just cause a lot of consolidation and major loss of jobs. One final thought, aquaculture is a loathsome idea to begin with, forcing nature to perform to our standards and upsetting life cycles of various ocean habitats. I'm referring to the feeding of fish in pens and those fish contaminating an area of the sea. Could rationalization assist the aquaculture movement? So I ask you to examine the bill in the light of just who is benefiting and is it in the best interest of the state? If not, let's table the thing, hold public hearings, and let's be the stewards of this great state instead of the usurpers of it. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions for Locke? Okay, we'll move on to Kip Tomet.
Good morning, Gabrielle and members of the committee. My name is Kip Tomet. I'm a Kodiak resident, and I've been an Alaskan fisherman for the past 21 years. Now, you're going to hear from a lot of people today, both for and against this bill. You're going to hear from the paid lobbyists and the consultants hired by the drag boat owners. You're going to hear from the managers of some of the foreign and outside-owned processing plants. And you're going to hear from a number of boat owners who no longer believe in the value of the free enterprise system and competition in the marketplace. Now that they have the chance of being one of the lucky winners in this public resource giveaway plan. And they're going to tell you that this new DAP program is the best thing since sliced bread. You're also going to hear from a bunch of working fishermen and women, deckhands, skippers, small boat owners, and small business owners. And they are what a certain board of fish member referred to as losers in his "Any plan will have winners and losers" statement. Now these folks, they're going to tell you that Senate Bill 113 is the worst thing for this state since fish traps. Now, the proponents of this bill are going to tell you that these losers or opponents are just misinformed, that all this bill will do is give a new tool to the Board of Fish to better manage our state water fisheries, and that the board and CFEC would never use this tool unless it was requested from, quote, industry. It will also tell you that this bill will protect the state water fishermen from outside fishermen. And it will also tell you that we need this bill to slow down the race for fish. These are all debatable points. What they won't tell you is this. It's the biggest proposed change in state fisheries management in the last 30 years. Instead of requiring active participation from the access holders, it encourages non-participation and absentee ownership. When the feds went down this road with halibut and black cod, there was an exodus of wealth from this coastal fishing town, and Kodiak is suffering the effects of that now. They also won't tell you about the elimination of jobs through the use of harvesting co-ops and the inevitable consolidation of access rights that this bill will allow. There's a lot of things they won't tell you, but there's even more that they don't know. None of us know. I've read this bill numerous times. I've read the MOU. I've read the committee substitute. And I've come here to the LIO for just about every committee hearing there has been on this bill. And I still don't know what this is all about and how it's going to work and how this plan is going to actually benefit this state. I would like to ask that if you don't just stop and kill this bill now, that you at least sit on it until you and I and everybody else gets a better understanding of how it will affect our coastal fishing towns and our working fishermen. I think you owe that to the fishing families of this great state.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kip. Any questions for Kip? Okay, we'll go on to Lee Tomet.
Yeah, good morning. I'm Lee Tomet, and my family, husband Kip, of course, we are 90% dependent on commercial fishing for a living. However, we do not participate in the jig or parallel fisheries. We are against Senate Bill 13 for many reasons. This bill clearly goes against our state constitution in two ways. First, it bypasses our basic right to our legislative process by allowing the Board of Fish to make decisions that should be made on the legislative level. And second, it allows the allocation of our state fishery resources, that equating to privatization of public resources. Both of these issues are seriously impingent to my rights as an Alaskan citizen. It has been alluded to that this will benefit coastal communities. The benefit to specific user groups is outweighed by the economic loss to our local residents and our communities. We do not see this as beneficial to the majority of stakeholders, that being our fishermen, their families, and our local community. The Senate bill will only benefit a select few, and the bill itself is not even clear as to who those are. However, my thoughts are the trawl fleet. If our state is in need of a new program to address issues within the fishery, they should follow the normal process of starting at the local level to see what would be the most beneficial to the communities and those that are involved. Any program that is implemented needs the support of all those that will ultimately be affected. Thank you for taking the time to listen to my testimony today, and I hope these ideas will be taken into consideration. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Lee. Anybody have any questions for Lee? Okay, we'll move over to Kodiak LIO site number two. Jay Stinson.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. For the record, I am Jay Stinson, owner and operator of the fishing vessel Alaskan. It's a 73-foot trawler, longliner, pot fisherman, or tanner crab pot boat. And from time to time, I do hydroacoustic research for the university and have done some for the Department of Fish and Game. I am also president of Alaska Draggers Association, a local market organization representing approximately 35 vessels or so in the central Gulf of Alaska. I am in support of Senate Bill 13 for a myriad of reasons, one of which all of this, the groundfish fisheries, except probably arrowtooth flounder, are fully exploited in the Gulf of Alaska. Now, the question is not can we catch the fishery or the resource, but who's going to catch the resource and how is that going to be allocated? Those are difficult decisions. For every winner, there's going to be a loser. And you're hearing a lot of that debate today. This is a question of who has access to the resource. What used to be a year-round groundfish industry here in Kodiak has been reduced to an industry that now is prosecuted in the course of several months. In order for the state to optimize the value of its resources and make the best use of those resources, we really need to figure out a way that we can reduce this race for fish so that we can concentrate on increasing the value of that resource so that we can increase employment opportunities for community members. Certainly, as we move through this process, there may be fewer jobs, but the jobs that remain will be better jobs and longer jobs, more days at sea versus more fishermen on the water for a shorter period of time. If that's what you want, if you want to create more jobs, I would suggest status quo. But if you want to compete and look at who our competition is coming from the Bering Sea and Canada, they've gone through processes that try to optimize the value of the resource, address issues of bycatch, et cetera. One of my concerns as a pollock fisherman is that approximately 17% of the pollock in the Central Gulf is harvested inside waters. The Prince William Sound has a pollock fishery that is completely state waters oriented. That particular fishery is the last open access fishery on the West Coast. So I guess my time is up. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Jay. Any questions for Jay? Okay. Sean Docterman.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Chairperson and committee members. I'm Sean Docterman from Kodiak Island, representing my jig permit holder rights. I've fished statewide for 28 years and hold halibut IFQs, a Bristol Bay drift permit, and fish crab in the Bering Sea. I'm also on the board of directors of the Alaska Jig Association. I've addressed this bill with opposition since it was submitted in early March. After careful review of the sponsor statement in the bill, I wrote a three-page summary analysis of its flaws, and it has been submitted with other testimonies. We, in opposition of this bill, have asked numerous pertinent questions about the Dedicated Access Privilege Program, but why is it that any of our significant questions asked have never been addressed? Any responses to our questions that have been answered have been elusive. There is no true direction of what the bill will actually do except create a new program that impinges on many fishermen's rights to equal access. The memorandum that was produced for April 25, 2005 Senate Resource Committee meeting by the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission is only agency drafted, not a legal document that is proof of DAP's constitutionality. The Department of Law would need to produce the legal document that would assume that DAPs could be legal. This bill uses the word allocation, and then another context says it's not a resource allocation. So which one is it? The sponsor of this bill just wants you to pass this bill without it being fully examined. Instead of looking at this bill with a telescope, shouldn't it be inspected with a microscope? Now I ask you, will this bill be in the best interest of the state, its communities, its businesses, its fishermen, and its citizens? Can you, the representative, say that you reasonably understand this bill? What are the consequences of this bill? How can we know without an economic impact statement what that will be? Will it affect our economy or adversely? If you don't fully understand this bill, then how could you vote anything but no? We have time to work on a democratic rationalization, and we can start right after this session is finished. What is the hurry to push this bill? Since ex-Governor Hammond has weighed in on this issue, shouldn't we be examining this bill further than this committee? The economic stability of the state of Alaska is dependent on the protection of its natural resources. Therefore, this bill next must be referred to the House Resource Committee. I encourage you to review my Senate testimonies that I've provided. I would also appreciate it if all of you would take great care in reviewing this bill from stem to stern. I hope that all of the members of the House Special Committee of Fisheries would contact me at any time in the future. In closing, if a CFEC commissioner writes an editorial in a newspaper and signs it with their credentials about this bill, is this a conflict of interest? Thank you very much, and I appreciate having this meeting.
Thank you, Sean. Any questions for Sean? Okay, we'll go on to Raleigh Yeager. Hi, Raleigh.
Hi. Thank you. My name is Raleigh Yeager. I'm a Kodiak deckhand and small boat fisherman. I've earned 100% of my income from commercial fishing for the past 10 years. There's some issues that I'd like you to consider before deciding on SB 113. First, this dedicated access privilege program would impinge on my rights to equal access and clearly allows for special privileges to be issued in contravention of the first sentence of Article 8, Section 15 of the Alaska State Constitution. Also, allocating apportionments to associations, co-ops, and or processing groups is in direct violation of the Limited Entry Act Amendment of 1972. Rights to fish can only be issued to an individual to prosecute a fishery. Secondly, public hearings will have no meaning if the Alaska Board of Fisheries and the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission have no mandates or guidelines. Without full disclosure of the plan for DAP, this bill should not be passed into law. Likewise, most of the ground fish stakeholders group appointed by the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council does not constitute a legitimate cross-section representative of the harvesting sector interests. A new stakeholders group must be appointed through a democratic process, including full representation from the harvester sectors and small businessmen whose livelihoods depend on them. I have heard the halibut and blackout IFQ programs used as an example. This program has improved the fishery in many ways. However, it has promoted a trend towards absentee ownership of the resource to the point where it is now possible for investors to purchase shares in IFQ mutual funds, profiting from the fisheries with no direct involvement. How many non-producing interested parties can our industry support? There seems to be a serious danger that future generations of fishermen will be relegated to sharecropper status. I think that such consolidation of control over the resource will lead to a less dynamic community and much less opportunity for future fishermen. Please ask yourselves these questions. Is it prudent to pass such wide-sweeping changes to the industry without thorough examination of its effects on the community? Have all relevant impact studies been conducted? How will it affect the financial health of our community in the future? Does it allow opportunity for the next generation of independent small businessmen seeking to make their homes and businesses in coastal Alaska? Thank you.
Any questions for Raleigh? Okay, we'll go on to Julie Bonney. Julie?
Members of the House, yes, Madam Chairman and members of the House Fisheries Committee. Good morning. My name is Julie Bonney. I represent the members of Alaska Groundfish Data Bank, both shore-based trawl catcher vessels and shore-based processors. I've lived in Alaska for 22 years. I'm going to segue a little bit from what my written testimony is and discuss a couple things that I think the committee needs to think about. I mean, basically, you can either look at the glass as half full or half empty. And the reality is the management system that we have for groundfish fisheries in the state of Alaska is broken. There is a race for fish. And because of that, we lose economic value. I've seen one report that suggests that the groundfish fisheries in the Gulf of Alaska could increase from $60 million on an annual basis to over $80 million just by moving away from a race to fish to a dedicated access approach. I think people are misinformed when they suggest that a dedicated access privilege will lead to all of the second generational problems, absentee ownership. All those issues are going to be addressed in the Board of Fish process. I believe that the state of Alaska, with this particular legislation, has the ability to drive what happens on the federal side in terms of the definition of an access privilege. Working for the trawl fleet, I think it's important for people to realize that the Central Gulf trawlers only have 2% of their history for cod inside 3 miles. The issue for them is pollock. And when you look at what the Eastern Seaboard does for their fisheries, they have what they call input controls, which is gear restriction, trip limits, days at sea. That fishery has been totally decimated because of the management structure. When you move to an output control, which is an allocation to an individual, when that individual owns that fish, then they're going to do everything they can to maximize the amount of money that they make from the fish and also to take the fish in the most conservation-friendly way. For the trawl sector in the Central Gulf, we want to move forward with bycatch controls and do a better job with stewardship of the resource, but the only way that we can get there is through some kind of a rationalization plan. I served on the Board of Fish Task Force. I believe that a dedicated access approach can be built that meets constitutional muster, especially the least impingement portion of the Constitution. I also think it's important for you to realize that if the state doesn't react to federal rationalization, state of Alaska fishermen are going to be disenfranchised because the federal folks will have allocations and then they can jump into the state pool at their whim and take away from Alaskans. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Julie. Any questions for Julie? Okay. Andy Lundquist, Kodiak LIO.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great. Andy Lundquist, Kodiak. I'm a 20-year business owner in Kodiak. I participated in the halibut and cod jig fishery to a limited degree, but I'm primarily speaking as a concerned business owner and a resident of Kodiak. Senate Bill 113 is a bad bill. I'm here to state opposition to it. Our present method of constitutionally mandated open access has operated successfully for the last 50 years. Senate Bill 113 turns the system on its head and allocates groundfish harvest rights to persons, vessels, corporations, co-ops based on historical catch histories. My opposition centers in three areas. Consolidation, e.g., pressure for fewer and fewer boats and crews to process the same amount of product through either people buying up share quota or DAP or through cooperative agreements whereby fishermen, in essence, retire vessels and only use a few boats and crews to harvest quota. Fewer boats, fewer crews mean less resultant economic activity for the coastal communities which homeport these boats. One of the stated goals of this legislation is to prevent economic stress to those dependent upon fishermen for a livelihood. Certainly those businesses located in communities such as Kodiak would qualify for this consideration. The two other areas, I'll be kind of brief on it. One of them is resource conservation. 90% of this groundfish is going to be allocated to trawlers. Currently, the state of Alaska does not have any kind of a observer program for these boats, and it's impossible for any of us to really discuss clearly or accurately what the extent of their bycatch problems are. But clearly, any time that you're going to allocate 90% of a resource to this segment of fishermen, that you ought to be talking about what some of the problems are with that type of harvesting. Third area of disagreement includes the sponsor of this bill has dropped jig fishermen out of it. Currently, they only harvest 2% of this groundfish. What you're doing is putting unreasonable pressure on that segment of the thing for new entrants. In conclusion, I'm against Senate Bill 113. I'd like you to vote against it. However, if you're going to pass it, please, we'd like amendment in the following areas. Delete all reference to co-ops. Include language in the bill that would require 100% trawl. State of Alaska managed observer program paid for by a tax on the catch. Inclusion of the jig fishermen in Senate Bill 113. And four, make this thing an experiment, prohibit the sale of these DAPs for about 3 years, and have the bill reauthorized after 3 years. Thank you for your time.
Thanks very much, Andy. Any questions for Andy? Okay, we'll move on to Dave Kubiak.
Yes, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. And members of the committee. This is Dave Kubiak, and I speak for myself as a jig and longline cod fisherman. I've fished in Kodiak since I got here sometime about 1965. Let me say that first I'm opposed to SB 113 for, you know, the innumerable reasons that have come before me, and I'm not going to go through my laundry list. They've been well stated. Very well stated. Really, I'd like to go to a sub-issue of this, of being left out. That is, let me speak plainly. Leaving out the jig fishermen in SB 113 is a kind of political terrorism. Let me explain. Many of us in coastal Alaska see the open-ended nature of this bill as a huge threat. The particular concerns have been pointed out again and again, so I'll not reiterate them to you. But it concerns us enough that we engage, participate in the political process. And the early part of these testimonies occurred during our jig season, which was rather inconvenient, but you saw there were lots of us here testifying. We object to the language, we object to the design, and we object to the potential of the bill. Instead of winning or losing, or even modifying the debate on the issue, we are simply left out of the legislation entirely. This is obviously part of the real politic designed to wreck us, because it leaves our fishery as the only open access fishery in the Gulf, which ultimately results in ballooning participation and the crowding out of legitimate jig fishers. It is much like saying that if you resist our assault on your fishery, we will simply kill you off economically. Fainting innocence in one's intent does not represent the true nature of the sophisticated politician, so let's not pretend. This is a very dirty way to treat the citizenry of the coastal communities. It's a real declaration of political warfare on those of us who, for whatever reason, choose to disagree with our senators or representatives and their backers. This reminds me of the politics we might expect of El Salvador. I expect the honest intention and forthright representation of the whole community will return us to the process by amending SB 113 to include the jig fleet, and not relegate us to be marginalized out of our livelihoods for participating in this important debate. If we are included in the legislation, perhaps we can still have some influence on the ultimate outcome. If not, then SB 113 and its passage will prove we have no reason to believe that the current political system works for coastal Alaska. I have two side comments as well. Much has been made out of public process. Being an open process doesn't make it public. We are busy with our lives. Participation demands that the process must always be local. And the other side comment I have is to shorten seasons. 2005, the TAC was much smaller than it had been in the past. How could the season not be shorter? So those are my comments this morning. I have many, many more, but others have covered them for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave. Any questions for Dave? Okay, we'll move on to Mike Beret. Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yes, this is Mike Beret. I've been in Kodiak since 79. Majority of my fishing is done here and out west. I do not believe in this Senate Bill 113. Our natural resources should not be owned or divvied up by anyone. There is a lot of concern about this bill that, you know, there's nothing set yet. Nobody quite understands what's going to be the outcome. There's a great deal of questions that need to be answered before any decisions can be made on this. It seems to me that this Senate Bill 113 is pretty much running hand in hand with the same way the crab rationalization out west is going, and there's a lot of downsides to that. You know, these forced co-ops, control by processors, and individuals being forced out of the business. And there's way too much concern over, you know, people losing jobs, people having to leave town, income being lost. So I would like to see this Senate Bill 113 slowed down, maybe turned over to the House, the Resource Committee, and take a chance to study this bill a lot more before any decisions is made on it. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mike. Any questions for Mike?
One more and we'll go.
The last person I'm going to take today is Don Gallagher, because we've got to wrap up this meeting, but I'm not going to be closing public testimony. It's just that for today we've got a House session. Don Gallagher.
I just wanted to say that this is a huge, huge deal going on here in Coast Alaska, and it really needs to be heard by the House Resource Committee. I don't see how it can't be.
that's mainly what I've just wanted to, you know, get across. This whole DAP program is just wrong. I know it's Senate Bill 113 doesn't exactly say that that's what we're going to have, you know, as a management way to go, but, you know, I think that's the way they're trying to go, and it certainly is not a very good way to go. There's better tools through gear restrictions is the big one, trip limits. You could stagger your openings. A lot of things we could do to slow down these fisheries and create more jobs for the processor workers. But rationalization and consolidation of the resource is not the way to go, as we've just seen happen with the crab fishery out in Dutch Harbor. The giant Japanese processor just bought out smaller American processor. Many jobs lost. Don't know what those processor workers for Royal Aleutian are going to do, but, you know, I'm sure Unice will pick up some of them, probably weed out a few of their own workers. So this sort of plan is bad, and we really need to see this thing go to the House Resource Committee. Thank you for your time.
Yes, Representative Elkins and then Representative Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Yeah, I have a question. I have a little bit of a problem with wanting to send this to Resource Committee when I said on resources. There are no fishermen on resources. We have commercial fishermen on the subcommittee. I just think that overall you get a better shake with the subcommittee than you would in resources. We have one packer on the resource committee, but I find it strange that everybody thinks it should be in resources.
Well, I don't think really that's that strange, considering the codfish. Well, I'm a cod fisherman, but all ground fish, it's a natural resource. So, yeah, let's go to the House Resource Committee with this natural resource issue.
I have the same question.
I was going to ask
the same question, why everybody keeps saying resources when this is definitely a fisheries issue and a resources. So I don't, you know, to ask us to give it up and ship it off to resources, unless we hear it thoroughly, is wrong, too. So that's all I had, Madam Chair. Thank you.
All right. Well, as I say, I'm not closing public testimony today, but we have to adjourn today. The meeting is adjourned subject to the call of the chair.